Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We are the morning shift, and we are live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame with Bo. Abe is in for Mike Johnson today, myself, Allie Mack, and this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We are going to get into the wake-up call momentarily, 404-726-0929. We are fielding calls to help Abe in the dating app world. And I so appreciate you bringing this on air, Abe, because I have been there. It is sometimes not a fun place to be in. Sometimes really fun to be
in.
It's
hard out in them single streets.
It really is. And you were talking about how some girl had a flex on her profile saying she doesn't watch TV. Doesn't own
a TV.
That's, my goodness. That's not the flex you think it
is,
girlfriend.
That's such a cringe for a sports fan like me.
I know. Are there any other things that are making you swipe left on profiles?
Yeah, there's one that jumps out at me, and I think I was talking maybe with Carl, who gave me some crazy eyes when I said this. You guys know me. I have Chipper. I have a dog. I'm probably more of a dog person than a cat person, certainly. You can have a cat, and that's fine. I don't think the cat can be in your first profile pic.
I get that.
If it's in picture one, well, left.
I mean,
out of here.
A guy should never have a cat in his profile
picture.
Well,
I'm talking about for a girl.
Hold on. I know. I understand. I was getting there.
You're aware of which sites I'm using, right?
I don't know. I don't dare to think about any of that. But a girl these days has to be careful of that, too, because there is the whole, you know, the thing about, you know, what's the age range you're kind of dating in? Because a lot of times,
I'm not dating in any age range. I'm looking.
You're trying to
in the 30s and early 40s.
People
I guess.
Try to make a big deal about, you know, cats and women and single, and that. So
you're allowed to say the words together, crazy cat lady.
Here's the deal: not every single lady with a cat is crazy.
No, you have to have a number before you get to crazy cat lady.
Yeah,
one doesn't do it.
I'd say five.
I was gonna say three.
Three
is where you enter the debate.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a close, open and shut case. Three to five is that middle ground where you're having a discussion about it.
There you go. I'm a little bit more open-minded with how many cats you can have than Abe.
And have the cats, but it can't be in the first profile picture. It can't be number one. I don't have Chipper in my number one profile picture. Maybe I should. Can't be doing worse off if I had her there.
Well,
but she's not number one.
Right, because number one should just be you.
I need to be the star, not Chipper.
There you go.
Oh, so you have a microphone picture for your first one, don't you?
I don't think I do, no. I don't know what my first picture. It's definitely not that.
You know, to have a dating profile and want to be successful in it, you sure don't know a lot about how it's set up.
No. Well, my own profile?
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't updated it in a little while. Maybe I should.
Maybe I should review it and proofread it for him.
Yeah, Allie, I think you should proof it because he is clear. If you put as much effort in this dating profile as you do, I bet you could tell me what channel each of your TVs was on before you turned them off before you left. Yet you don't know anything about your dating profile.
All right, TV 1 was on.
No, no,
Bally
don't answer
Sports,
the question. You're
the
not
Braves.
Helping the case.
TV 2, I was watching Amazon Prime. TV 3 hasn't been on in a while. When it was last on, I was watching the Atlanta Dream. And TV 4, I don't know the last time I used TV 4. It probably would have been during the U.S. Open.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, you're making a case for you to stay single,
Dave. 404-726-0929. What is a red flag when you're looking for a partner on a dating app? Or what is your ideal first date? We actually had someone tweet at us. It's Bama25 said, today is actually my 13th wedding anniversary, so it's been a while. A comedy show is a wonderful first date. Learn a lot about a person on what they laugh about. That could also be a hot button, too, though.
Well, it's also a problem because you don't get to unless you're getting clowned on by the comedian, you're not really talking and getting to know them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, movies.
No, movies.
Comedy shows.
I don't think you can do a movie until it's at least date three.
You do have to be able to talk on the first date and start to get to know someone. You have to be able to see if that chemistry is there.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I agree.
Here's another one from my dating past not too long ago. I went to see Joker Folly Adieu with a young woman, and she didn't know it was a sequel. And it was like her suggestion, like, I want to see Joker Folia do.
Oh.
And like 10 minutes in, she's like, was there a first one that I'm not aware of? I'm like, yeah, man, there was.
You said yeah, man, to her? Well, maybe that's her red flag.
That was the last date that we had as well.
You know what? I think you need to just, like, you need to use Allie as a resource to help you, because everything you're telling me, you're borderline illiterate at dating. And I'm trying to be nice.
I stand by my decision.
I am trying to be nice.
I think that's a good call, though. Yeah, she didn't know
you.
It was a sequel, and it was her suggestion. That's a problem.
And
I agree with that.
That movie sucked.
Well, I never
well,
I haven't,
that's not
I haven't seen
help.
That movie yet. But I think the issues were coming along is if you know nothing about your dating profile and you're trying to get dates, that's a problem. That's a red flag right there. Because for me, that's a red flag. You tell me about it. You're not trying very hard.
I know plenty about my dating profile.
You haven't answered one question that I've asked you, and they're legitimate questions. They're legitimate questions.
Which ones?
What is your flex on your question?
I don't think that's one of the questions I answered. What, I think that's the thing.
What are your pictures? Like, what's, you know, like,
I definitely have one of me in a suit. I definitely have one of me and Chipper. I might have one of me after a race, showing I'm athletic.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's a good one to put up there.
Sure,
that shows a lot about your personality.
I'm sure you in a tank top, sweaty, is exactly the perfect dating picture. Let's go to the – you know what? Let's go to the phone lines. I can't hear anymore.
Would you like to see it?
You know what? Yeah, I think Allie, what we're going to do is I'm going to let you drive tomorrow, and Allie and I are going to go over your dating profile and fix it for
you. I'm not giving you my phone unobserved. There's no shot of that.
So, anyways, all right, let's go get our wake-up calls. Cannon and Noonan, you're up with the morning shift. What you got for us, brother?
So, I think a major red flag on a dating, and granted, I've never been on a dating app, I think that a major red flag is when someone has demands for who they want to be with, because you got to get to know somebody first. And then I think that a great first date is, like you guys were saying, you can't go to a movie or a show because you need to be able to talk. So anywhere you can talk. But I think you need to do some sort of activity, like go to Six Flags or go fishing or go do something so you can see if you work well together.
It takes a special girl to be able to take her fishing on a first date. I'm not saying it wouldn't work for anyone, but it wouldn't work for everyone.
Well, hold on. In Noonan, and appreciate you calling in, Cannon. Appreciate the call. In Noonan, okay, that's not a bad thing. Now, if you were in Buckhead and you're, the girl you knew that you were on the site with, you know, knew that she was from Buckhead, that might, even though she probably does fish, I don't think that's conducive to a first date.
Yeah.
But I do think it is good to do something if, you know, that you enjoy doing at some point in the first three or four dates with her. I mean, because that kind of lets you know, well, this could be life with this person. And also you want to see if that person sucks at life with you.
Well,
and if they do, then you don't want to, you know, like the girl with no TVs. That's not your thing.
Well, can we talk about the Six Flags comment? Absolutely not. That does not sound like a wonderful first date to me. Does that sound like a good date to you, Bo?
Six Flags?
What time of year?
Yeah, I think Six Flags could be fun. I went on a blind date one time. And I think that I was in college, and I remember she was at West Georgia. And actually, the reason I remember this so vividly is that was when the David Pollock South Carolina play happened, because she was a big Georgia fan, and I was watching that in her dorm or whatever. But we went to a Braves game when it was at Turner Field, and it was fun because a baseball game to me is a decent first date.
Yeah.
Now, it's expensive
it's
as hell.
It's slow enough that you can talk.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple baseball game dates, and it's slow enough that you can talk.
I mean, it might shock you guys, but that was Grant and I's first date. It was a Braves game.
I don't believe it. How'd
you get tickets?
I have no idea.
Did he get you a credential instead of a ticket?
He's no, like, no.
I might have known somebody. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's get I know Tinker, who is calling from Kennesaw right now, is going to have a very interesting dating profile take if he has one at all. What's up, Tinker?
Great. God, that technology wasn't around when I was younger and trying to date. Oh, my God. I don't know what I'd do to myself. I couldn't imagine trying to go through it. Couldn't you try to imagine having a pig in your profile pic? I'd like to see the feedback on that.
Well, apparently you can't be the first pick, Tinker. Not the first pick.
That's right. That's right. You're learning.
Or if you can't have more than – can't have three or more, according to Abe.
Well, if you want
right,
a farm.
Well, all I got to say is – good luck, Abe, but no, the question I got this morning is one of my favorite things about the Home Run Derby is that you get to pick who pitches at you. If you were in the Home Run Derby, who would you have pitch for you?
Abe, would you have your dad pitch if he's wearing his lasso?
Yeah, it's bolo. Not a lasso.
It's a bolo.
Bolo, whatever.
Bolo. I used to be pretty good at the lasso growing up, believe it or not.
That's not surprising. What were you practicing on?
Cat.
What? Okay.
I didn't go for the back legs. We just did around the neck.
What?
That doesn't make it better, dude.
It's not like she's
worse.
Running. She was just sitting outside. I'm like, flip this knot around her.
Okay, let's get back to the pitching question.
I'm not running up to her and then flipping her and tying the leg.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, nothing you say makes this better. Nothing.
Yeah, you should pivot back.
I'd have my dad pitch to me, sure. I wouldn't come – I could hit a ball to the outfield grass. Like, I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean,
zero home runs.
Well, that's
– I'd have my dad pitch.
You know what? That's your flex. I take everything literally. Everything has – I have to answer everything literally. I cannot have fun. I would say this. My best friend from college is who I would get, my buddy Gardner, because he was a pretty good pitcher back in his day, and he's as competitive as I am. So if I couldn't hit home runs because he was throwing me crappy pitches, he would take it as hard as I would.
Now,
so.
This is an ego question, though, as well. Is he okay having the ball taken out on him? Because you can get too competitive and be like, I'm going to throw one a little bit faster, make sure he don't put one deep on me.
Because the ego at this point is to throw meatballs up there. Like, if you're not throwing meatballs, you're not doing your job. So that's to me, you can't be competitive and say, I'm going to get the guy out that I'm trying to help win a derby.
Well, I do want to say a quick apology to Will, who is a part of Mike's Mafia. I'm so sorry we didn't get to your call. We were stuck on Abe lassoing his cat, and that is just what happens with the morning
shift. The dog got it once or twice as well.
Well, coming up next, we've got the top Heisman contenders. We're going to see how these guys feel about this list. That is next with the morning shift live from SEC Media Days, where we're talking about dating apps, from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame with Bo. Abe is in for Mike today. Myself, Allie Mack, I'm here. Steak Shapiro just walked in the door too. That's why Bo is over here distracted right now talking with Abe, talking with Steak over there. We're about 40 minutes out from Greg Sankey speaking. LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt are the presenting teams today. Hey, also make sure to follow us on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. You can find all of our personal handles there. But I want to get into this conversation about the top Heisman contenders for every team. CBS came out with this article. It's kind of interesting because a lot of the top Heisman contenders from last year have gone off to the NFL. Which of these are you guys kind of agreeing with, and which are you not on board with quite as much? I mean, there are 16 of the 25 picks are quarterbacks.
Yeah, I look at this list, and what CBS did a couple of weeks ago is they took each of their top 25 teams and provided who they think is the best Heisman candidate from that team, because there are some teams that could have multiple candidates as the season goes on. Bo, I've struck out four immediately. Oregon running back Mekhi Hughes, BYU running back L.J. Martin, Texas Tech linebacker Jacob Rodriguez, and unfortunately for Georgia, they listed Georgia's best Heisman contender as C.J. Allen. It's just not going to be a defensive player. I think we've seen the limit of what defensive players can do and still not be given credit towards a Heisman. So I took them off, and then the BYU running back, if Ashton Jeanty couldn't get it done last year with the numbers he put up.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And you know what? You can. I did the same thing you did. The exact same thing. I had, like, those guys, because the first thing was, like, no defensive players winning this Heisman. Okay? And if they do, they're going to have an unbelievable year. You can't look at Travis. You can't say, well, Travis Hunter won it last year. No, he didn't. He did it also on playing literally – maybe all but 4 to 10 snaps.
He doesn't
every
win it if he's
game.
DB only, right?
Agreed. Ashton Jeanty had a year that we probably will never see again.
Yeah,
or not for a long time. So that one, that's ridiculous. But to the other point, Isaac Brown, who's from Louisville, running back? Okay, no.
I'll tell you why I didn't cross him off. And I think it's unlikely, but I don't want to completely cross him off. Is I don't know what they're getting from Miller Moss. And I think for the same reason I left Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love on there. And now the difference is Jeremiah Love comes into the season largely regarded as the best running back in college football. So he can kind of pick up where he left off.
Louisville has to be in the playoff.
Yeah, they got to be
the ACC.
9-3. Yeah.
No. Louisville. No. For him to win the Heisman, Louisville has to be probably 12-1, 11-1, 12-1, undefeated, whatever. He's not winning.
Yeah.
No, he's not winning. And he has to beat Ashton Gentry's numbers. You can do the same. Cam Coleman, wide receivers. Dude, it's a quarterback award almost more than anything else.
Except for the guy coming out of the number one ranked preseason team in the country, and that's Jeremiah Smith.
Or Ryan Williams.
And Ryan Williams.
Because I think Ryan Williams in that offense that Kalen DeBoer wants to run, if he can get someone, I don't know necessarily who's going to be the quarterback there, but if he can get someone that can distribute the ball consistently to him, in Alabama, being Alabama, being in the SEC, he can have a year like our guy in Philly right now,
Devontae Smith.
I
only say that I just think there's so much more to go around with Bernard alongside him in Alabama, and I know Ohio State's got plenty of receivers too. And with respect to Ryan Williams, 100% respect to him. Jeremiah Smith's a different dude. And I know Ryan Williams is close to being a different dude.
Well,
but Jeremiah Smith's a different dude. You're coming in with a quarterback that is completely unproven, and if he can still do what he's been doing, all the same.
I think Ryan Williams is very much
– he's pretty close.
The same guy. It's just one play on the team with – I mean, they had two running backs drafted in, with the first three or four. Both those guys go. I know one's in trouble right now.
I was going to say one of them about to be cut, but that's all right.
He's not going to be cut.
I know.
But, I mean, I think when you look at the team that – Ohio State was – that was – he also didn't wake up to the playoff, seemingly. I mean, I know he did stuff.
Yeah.
But it felt like they said, hey, we have this guy. He's pretty good all of a sudden. And that's when Chip Kelly finally decided to really start using him. I think it was because they needed to. They felt like they needed to lean on him.
We talked about Garrett Nussmeier a little bit earlier. I think he's fascinating, but he's going to have to put up numbers. One of the problems with being an LSU quarterback trying to win a Heisman is I think you're going to automatically get compared to what Joe Burrow does because it's going to be almost impossible to break school records, right, because of the season that Burrow had when he had Justin Jefferson. I think by comparison, now, you can always win the Heisman if you're going 12-0 and winning the SEC, but short of that, you remember Jaden Daniels also won it when was in the discussion when he wasn't. They weren't winning the SEC.
But those are quarterbacks, though, to me.
Correct.
Quarterbacks, that's the thing. I think DJ Lagway, if DJ Lagway stays healthy.
But what can they go and have him still win? They still got to be 10-2, right?
Well, no.
Can they be 9-3?
Yes, because you're a quarterback in the SEC, and you're not a quarterback for Georgia or Alabama or LSU or something like that. So, yeah, I think a DJ Lagway, go have a – God, I hate this term, but go have a signature win.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, go beat Georgia and Jacksonville and light up a top-tier team. And, yeah, and then put on stack numbers against numbers. Yeah, he could absolutely win it.
I understand why Drew Aller is on this list, the Penn State quarterback. I understand why Arch Manning is on this list as well.
They want to give it to Arch Manning. They want so badly. Arch Manning is the Paul Skeens of college football right now. Paul Skeens is having a phenomenal year.
Right.
But he was given the Cy Young Award before the season started. He would have to have had a 4 ERA to not win the Cy Young Award this year.
Who Carson Beck is on this list.
I think it's going to be hard for him.
I'm not buying that one. I John Mateer at Oklahoma is a guy that you're going to hear me talk about over the course of this week. I'm fascinated by him and what they can do offensively for the Sooners. I don't buy a lot of the quarterbacks on this list just because I don't buy the teams, right? Like Tennessee quarterback Joey Aguilar taking over for Nico, going to be tough. TCU quarterback Josh Hoover. South Carolina quarterback Lenore Sellers needs a repeat and a bump up in improvement from last year. But I'll tell you the guy that is my guy, and I've mentioned this multiple times over the course of this offseason, Bo. The guy I think is going to win the Heisman is Clemson quarterback Cade Klubnik.
I don't agree because I think Cade Klubnik's a good player, but time after time in big time moments he shrinks. And you know, I know he the playoff I thought he was okay, but I cannot remember who they were playing, but it was at home. It might have been, was it South Carolina that he threw the really, really bad interception? I mean, just terrible interception. And it was a moment where you can't shrink there, and he did.
Well, and Cade is ranked at number 4. What's the difference in what they're seeing and what you're seeing?
Well, remember, these rankings are by team. So mm-hmm. Clemson is ranked 4th, and then they've
got
Cade Klubnik. I just loved his ability to make plays, his ability with the legs and the arm. And they've got an incredible returning defense led by T.J. Parker, Peter Woods.
Defense going to win?
I think they're going to have an opportunity to win a lot of games. I think that's important still nowadays.
I think they
got to be 11-1.
But
right?
I think he's got to have a moment or two where he shows he's not the guy that he's been in the past. Because, again, I disagree with your conception
of what last year was for him.
That was one of the worst throws I've ever seen.
There have been Heismans that have had one bad throw. You're picking it out.
Yeah,
this is a guy that's a playmaker.
It was a big moment, Abe.
I know. This is a guy that's a playmaker. He returns a couple of receivers I think he's comfortable with.
That's a moment where a playmaker's got to make a play, and he didn't.
I think that offense is going to be crazy, especially in an ACC. It's just gettable, Bo. I mean, it's not playing in the SEC. I think that helps a lot.
I agree, but but I think for him to do that, he's got to overcome some things, and he's also got to have a huge year. Again, plus 900 is pretty good odds.
The other thing is they have the opportunity week one. He can stamp himself as the Heisman favorite week one because they are playing LSU. It's going to be the biggest game of the weekend. It's going to be nationally televised. If he has a show-out performance in that very first game, he is the guy to beat from then on.
Yeah. I mean, it's always fun to argue about Heismans right off the bat. I'm a little bit surprised you went with Clay Cup. Cade
That's Klubnik. My guy. That's my guy.
So, you know, another guy real quick. I know we got to go, but Bryce Underwood. I think that's ridiculous just putting him on there because we don't even know what this Michigan team can be without Harbaugh. And I know they had a couple moments last year beating Ohio State in the shoe, the last game of the year for them or whatever. But come on, man, that's a lot.
Well, you can probably hear the roar of SEC Media Days really filling in now around us. Coming up, Bob Eibach of Nyko Sports is going to join us to talk about that all-star bat you've been seeing. If you're a collector, you want to hear what he has to say. That is next with the Morning Shift. We are live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame. You've got Bo here. He's over to my right. Abe is to my left. He's in for Mike today. And I am Allie Mack. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We've got Bob Eibach of Nyko Sports joining us. Of course, the All-Star Game is in Atlanta this week. And Bob is here to give us all the info on that 2025 MLB Atlanta All-Star Game bat. Bob, thanks for joining us on the show today. I have to imagine this week is a little bit insane for you.
Oh, it is. You know, Allie Mack, it's been crazy. I've been in baseball for many, many years, going back to my years when I was a sports writer with the Washington Post and Baltimore Sun. I covered Major League Baseball in those days, and then I went with the Chicago Cubs in their front office. So I've seen a lot of these All-Star games over the years, and always so exciting, always so different. But I've never kind of anticipated one quite like this, the third time in Atlanta history it's ever going to be in that city. I know 1972, I watched the game at Fulton County Stadium. Mm-hmm. In 2000, it was at Turner Field, and now it's at Truist Park. And this is kind of historic because on this bat that I'm about to talk about, you're going to get something that's, I don't like to use the word unique, and I don't throw it out there very often, but this is unique because on the barrel of this 34-inch navy wooden bat, it's beautiful. You're going to have Aaron Judge, a picture of him, mm-hmm. and Shohei Ohtani. the two top vote-getters in the American League and National League. And I don't believe I've seen a product out there that has both of these historic and future Hall of Famers on the same item. So when I give out that phone number and website in just a minute, how you can order these, this will become something, if you're a collector or you're just a fan of Major League Baseball, this is truly a gem to own. Now, these are, they'll have the official All-Star Game logo on the barrel of the bat, along with that photograph of Judge and Ohtani. And their full game action photographs also of Ronald Acuna Jr. and Chris Sale, who are the two Braves representatives. I don't believe Sale's going to be in the game because of injury. But we also have stadium history listed, background image of the Truist Park on one side of the bat. It'll be updated with the All-Star Game MVP and the Home Run Derby winner. And everything is limited. Only 2,025 of these bats will ever be produced, with a portion of the sales going to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. It'll have that official All-Star Game logo on there. So everything is fully licensed by Major League Baseball and the Players Association. And again, only 2,025 of these will ever be produced. You'll get a individually hand-numbered certificate of authenticity, and each bat will be numbered. So here's how you can get it. They're $149.95, but again, only 2,025 of these will ever be produced, a very low number, and we just started doing it this morning. Your show is the first one to have it. So again, $149.95. Here's the two ways that you can order these bats. I would urge people do it sooner than later, because with Ohtani and Judge being on the barrel of that bat, these are going to go very fast. The toll-free number is 800-345-2868. Again, that's 800-345-2868. Or just go to the website. You can see it there. It is beautiful looking. NikoSports.com. It's spelled NikoSports.com. That's NikoSports.com. Again, that phone number, 800-345-2868. This makes a great item for maybe a birthday, an anniversary, or just to put up in maybe the man cave or the she shed.
Yeah, it's a great collectible for those who are looking, but also, as you mentioned, a great gift. The other cool thing here, if you are looking for this for a gift for someone, it says here it's going to be available by September, so it'll be able to give and wrapped up and ready for under the Christmas tree or the holiday season as well.
That's so right. These are all handmade. I've had some of the bats produced by Coopersburg Company, and they are just unbelievable. People have walked into my man cave and seen some of their products, and they say, wow, where did you get that? But they've never seen something like this with Judge and Ohtani on the same barrel of the bat. That's what makes this historic, and I guarantee you, in years to come, you get a couple of these. Put them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get about four or five of them. Put them away. It's like an insurance bond, you know. You'll be able to sell this thing probably for three or four times the price in years to come.
Hey, Bob, you're expecting in that Home Run Derby slot, Matt Olson's name is going to be put there, right?
Right. Yep. And I love the Home Run Derby. It's something that Major League Baseball has come up with. Adds a lot of drama to the whole thing. And, yeah, it's the game itself is different than when I covered it back in the 1980s and in the 1970s when I was a sports writer. And, of course, with the Baltimore Sun, I covered the old Orioles, which had some great teams with Brooks Robinson and Frank Robinson and Boog Powell. I could only imagine what they would have done in a Home Run Derby.
Well, again, you can get that bat at NikoSports.com. 800-345-2868 is that toll-free number. Bob, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work. When I get down your way, I always tune you guys in. Doing a great job.
Thanks so much, Bob. That is Bob Ibach of Nyko Sports. Appreciate the time. Make sure to grab your 2025 MLB Atlanta All-Star Game bat. $5 of each bat sold is being donated to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. So you get a gift, do some good at the same time. It's NykoSports.com. Now, of course, that's a reminder that the All-Star Game is happening tonight. Well, the Home Run Derby is tonight. All-Star Game is tomorrow. Matt Olson will be trying to become the first Brave to win. I was hoping he would say Matt Olson's name is definitely going in that home run slot because that's what I want.
Yeah, you wanted him to play up to the home crowd a little bit. Bob, but Bob, you know, he was at one point a respected journalist.
Journalist.
Wow. You know what? Hey, guys, if you can't say it in sync, don't say it at all. I'm just kidding. But so he didn't want to go there. But, you know, yeah, those bats are pretty cool. I've got one for the World Series. And so they're always pretty, you know, when they won the World's 21 World
Were there
Series.
Only 2,021 of them made at that time?
I don't know the exact number, Abe. I don't know why you have to do things like that. I do know that I got
one. Didn't know
one
how he came up with the number 2,025 available.
Dylan, just get out of here with my segment. Let's go. Baron Burton's W sauce is always. Dude, I'm telling you, I put it on. I did my steak tacos Saturday. Allie, I told you about that when I did the I had the flank steak. I put the Baron Burton's on there first. Then I put all the other ingredients I used for the marinade and basically just tenders it up. I threw it on the – I had the egg. I fired that egg. I had the egg up to, like, 550 degrees. Threw them on there. Got it, like, medium rare. Turned out perfect. I sent you and Dylan pictures. I know meat pictures don't really do it for you because you're – you know, if it was a piece of tofu, you'd like it better.
Hey, yo.
But, I mean, it was
– Dylan.
It was as – it tasted as good as it looked. I'm just going to tell you that. And don't forget – and I washed it down with an Allen Lager from New Realm Brewing. All right.
Woo-doo.
I saw this this clip. It was like a two-minute clip. I hope Dylan read my mind because I didn't give him any instructions on how to edit it other than I need some of this. But I think it was pretty easy. Frank Thomas is on with Ozzie Guillen and some random dude that does the hosting show on the what would be like, you know, the FanDuel version, you know, our FanDuel Braves broadcast, right? And it's like NBC Sports or something that does the White Sox games. And Frank Thomas goes in an absolute rant, which I think a lot of us can relate to. And that's this whole lifting a ball. He talked about how he's like, I've never heard the term for a batter to lift the ball. You know, it's basically the same thing as launch angle in baseball. Dylan, let's hear from Frank Thomas on this rant.
I do not want to hear another hitter say, put the ball in the air. You cut the ball in half, you finish right, the ball will get in the air. Do not say, I'm trying to hit the ball in the air. You try to hit the ball in the air consistently, 20, you're going to be hit 220 and above. I'm just telling you right now, do not try to put the ball
in the
air. I've heard that too much this year. So that's why so many guys in the big leagues right now are hitting 250 and below, because of that approach. If your ball's elevated, you stay through the baseball, it will jump out of the ballpark. The ball's middle down, you stay through the baseball, you cut it in half, the ball is out of the ballpark. Even the ball down the ground, you get down through the baseball, you cut it in half, it backspins out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he went on and on about it. Like, you know, he went up and down about how, you know, the middle of the plate. But this is where we're at in today's game, and it's so frustrating because everything is – all you want to hear is about launch angle. It's lifting the ball for hitters, and it's throwing the ball as hard as you can. And it's it to me, that's – some of why you see guys like Michael Harris is what he's in, and these guys hitting 200, and it's some of Abe why you have guys throwing their arms out and having Tommy having their being on their second Tommy John surgery and like 25 years old.
Is this who I do the major league with your speed? You should be hitting it on the ground and running it out. I mean, yeah, like it'd be nice, but at the same time, we've also come to a point where there's been a lot of science and a lot of study being done. And baseball has made it very clear that they're comfortable with you hitting 240, 250 if that comes along with 30, 35, 40 home runs. You've also obviously got the guys like Acuna, like Judge, who can somehow also get to 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60 home runs while hitting in the 330s, 340s, whatever the number is. So a couple guys can make it work. But there's obviously been an announcement from Major League Baseball that we don't care if you strike out a bunch as long as you hit the ball over the fence.
Well, I don't think baseball made an announcement. I think it's just the way the game has slowly progressed to where it's like
– I think they unintentionally announce it when they pay guys who hit 250, 280, $290, $300 million because they also hit 45 dingers.
Well, they have 45 homers and 140 RBIs.
Yeah.
Because they're producing. But also, you know, there's a lot of guys that are doing that that don't need to be trying to do that.
Correct.
I think Michael Harris is one. I think Michael Harris has great power, but he doesn't need to be trying to do it. Just get on freaking base.
There used to be batters here and there that you'd almost wish they wouldn't hit home runs because then they get home run happy, right? They start trying to pull the ball. They start trying to hit home runs. And you're like, man, you used to be so good. Rafael Furcal would get into a run of this at times.
I think Ozzie got into it a little bit too.
Yeah, and that's why I was going to bring him up as well. It's just like, man, keep doing what has you batting 280, 290. If the home run comes, great. We'll take singles. We'll take doubles. Do what you do. But you get two home run happy, and it really puts you in a slump, and you just can't pull out of it.
Yeah, and it's a very frustrating thing to watch. But I just love that somebody – see, it's great that Frank Thomas wants to say this, but we're eventually going to need a couple of these guys who were legends in the game to almost get down and coach and kind of put a stop to this because Chipper Jones has talked about it as well. And I think Chipper might have been the first old head to really come out that I remember hearing to come out about it. And it's just like you're going to have to help these young guys get out of this. And I don't know if they need to go to the minor league. I don't know where this is being taught. And it might be being taught in some of the guys in college and
I think it's
in some of these smaller leagues. You know, I know that I blame some of the travel ball with why guys are throwing their arms out. They're pitching too much. They can't play year-long baseball and not have a Tommy John surgery as hard as they throw.
Well, and travel ball is just – it's pretty much required now as you're coming up in baseball. Everybody's doing – my sister has four kids, and her kids play travel ball. It's insane.
It's
how do you even handle that?
It's way too much.
Well, things are kicking up around here, but that is our time. It's going to do it for us today. For Bo, Dylan, Abe, myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. We'll be back at SEC Media Days tomorrow. This steakhouse is coming up next, live from SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.